Last week in Mark chapter 12, we saw one of the teachers of the law came and they heard the Pharisees debating with Jesus, if you remember that. And so the guy, the scribe, heard that he gave him a good answer. And so he said, "Hey, of all the commandments, Jesus, which is the most important commandment when you boil it all down?" And so Jesus told him the most important commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And so that's what he told him. And the teacher said, the scribe, the lawyer said, "Hey, well said. You're right on the money." That's the Darren paraphrase version. And he said, "You're right in saying there's no other God, and we're supposed to love him with all our heart, soul, and strength. That's more important than any burnt offerings or sacrifice." And Jesus told him, "Hey, you're not far from the kingdom of God." And we talked about, you know, questions to evaluate our love life, about loving the Lord, our God, with all of our heart and our mind, and what that means. Because where our treasure is, our heart is. We went through about 8 or 9 things that we need to be asking questions. I'll send this out to the church family later on this week, Lord willing. And so if you don't get it, let me know, and I'll send it to you directly. And so when Jesus was in the temple courts, the outside of the courts, he was asking questions, and they were still just trying to trick him and trap him. And finally, he said, in this last verse of Mark chapter 12, 38 to 40, he said, "Hey, guys," he said, "I want you to watch out for the teachers of the law." And they like to walk around with flowing robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the churches and the places of honor at the banquets. But they devour widows' houses. You're going to see that actually today, I think. And for a show, they make lengthy prayers. And it says, interestingly enough, that those men will be punished most severely. That's interesting to me. So with knowledge comes responsibility. So this is where we left off, and I'm going to read the verses in last few verses in Mark chapter 12 and the first 4 verses, let's say, in Mark chapter 13. So give me just a second to find my place with all my writings in it. And let's start off. It's going to be in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Would you read it with me in your Bibles or your app? It says, "Jesus then sat down opposite the place where where the offerings were put, and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling the disciples to him, Jesus said, 'I tell you the truth, this poor widow has actually put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth or their surplus, but she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything or all that she had to live on.'" Chapter 13, the first few verses. It says, "As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, 'Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?' Replied Jesus, 'Not one stone will be left upon another. Everyone will be thrown down.' As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked privately, 'Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they will all be fulfilled?'" So that's our text for today. Mark, I haven't even started teaching yet.
No, but I wasn't here last
week. Okay. Yes, I'm sorry, Mark. Yes.
Okay. In that passage,
it's
up there.
Yes, sir.
Pharisee.
Yes.
And it says, there you go, "They devour widows' houses."
Yes.
"And for show, they make lengthy prayers."
Yes, sir.
"These men will be punished most severely."
Yes, sir.
You know, the Lord spoke to me just as you were reading that. And he said, "You know what, Mark? You ought to pray hardest for those." Yeah. Instead of whining, complaining, and all the other stuff that I do about the people that are doing exactly that.
I should pray for them hardest.
Yeah, it is true. Well, at least they got picked up on that on the for the video. But you know what? You're true. And can I tell you? I was that person. I went to church. I was very religious on my own. I, for a long time, actually for most of my life, till I was in my upper 20s, I knew about the Lord, but I didn't know the Lord. I was staunchly devoted to my religion, but I didn't understand a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where the life change comes. That's where everything changes. And so, well, you know what? People prayed for me. I still remember it was at the time a girlfriend's sister. I had given her An Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. My best friend, Michael Z, gave it to her. He's with the Lord now, but he was a teacher at Liberty University. But anyway, he went and gave it to her. He said, here it is. And she respected him as a Christian. And he said, oh, this is from Darren. And she laughed. She's like, no. I know Darren. I know this isn't from him. And he's like, no. Really, believe it or not, he's saved now, and he's walking with the Lord, and he wants you to have this. And the bottom line is, he tried to convince her. She could not believe it. It was actually for me, and that I was actually following the Lord. But yet, people faithfully prayed for me. And so I always look at it, if I can get saved, let me tell you, anybody can get saved. Okay? All right. So let's... No. Yes. Yes, of course. Yes.
He can turn a heart of stone to flesh. Yes. And that's a heart of stone in that man. You know what I mean?
Correct.
But God can still change it.
God can change. Yes. That's why we can't give up on anybody. Now, can I be honest? Sometimes I don't want to. I'm just being honest here. I know you might not want to hear you. Most pastors don't share this kind of stuff. But you know what? There are times where I'm like, I don't want to invest anymore. I don't want to try anymore. It's not worth it. And then God's like, oh, I totally get it. You know, some people said that about you. Yeah, but Lord, they're persecuting me. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Yeah. And then he just reminds you scripture after scripture after scripture. I'm sorry, Lord. And then I have to ask forgiveness. And then I have to pray and go back to the grinds. You know what I'm saying? And so... It's a good word, sister. Thank you. And a good word, brother. Thank you. So here we are in Mark chapter 12, 41 and 42. And we start off where it says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the crowd, where the offerings were put, and watched the crowd or the people putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Now, verse 41 is important. Now, some of your translations may have this word, some don't. I understand why it doesn't, but there's an important word that's in the original Greek that's left out in many translations, and it's even left out in mine that I love, but it's crucial to this verse, and the Greek word is pos, or pos, and it means how. So he watched how the crowd was putting in money. Now, I understand why they don't put that in some of the translations, because it's not like they were watching how, like, some people weren't, like, you know, trying to dunk the money into the tithe box, or they were, it doesn't mean, like, that kind of physical how he was watching. You know what I mean? Oh, so they're strutting up there, putting in their money like this. He wasn't watching that aspect of it. He was watching how they gave their money to the God, to God. He was watching the attitude of their hearts. He was discerning. Jesus was focused, this is important, on how the people gave more than he is on what the people gave. Does that make sense? And that's really important here. Okay? Jesus is always watching in that same way how we give. He really is. And whether that be our time, our talents, our treasures, Jesus is always examining our heart motives when we give things and when we receive things. He's interested in our reasons for doing something, especially the hidden reasons that are not obvious to others, or sometimes it's not even obvious to ourselves. But he examines the heart motives. Listen, all those hidden reasons, all those hidden explanations, they're all going to be revealed. First off, they're all revealed before the Lord already. You know what I'm saying? He already knows. There's no point in trying to deceive anybody else or even yourself. He's already got it. He's figured it out. Listen, the Bible says that in Mark chapter 4:22, he says, everything that's hidden will eventually be brought out into the open. Woo! Do we have to say everything, Lord? Because we all got a past, right? So now that you know the Lord, quit trying to hide. Quit trying to be faker baker. What's the point of it? There isn't. You can do it. And you know what? You could even fool me. But you know what you can't fool is the main guy who's really looking at everything. And that's the Lord. So you have to get your heart right. The motives of your heart must be right. And I'm not saying that to condemn you. You understand? I'm saying that to me. And I'm saying that to you because he's saying that to all of us. He wants our heart to be right. Listen, what's one of the ways we do that is, and I love this, this is Hebrews chapter 4:12. This is the New King James Version. And when I made up the slide, I loved it. It's got that cool sword there and that, fire of the Spirit and the Word of God there. Anyway, it says, the Word of God is living and active. It's living and powerful. This book is the only book that reads you as you read it, which is why the devil tries so hard to keep you out of this book, to keep you distracted from this book, to keep you asleep from the book, to keep you away from the book, to keep you angry at the book. You get what I'm saying? It says it's living and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, even to dividing the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. Listen to this. It says, the Bible says, I love this, Hebrews chapter 4:12, it's a discerner, or it's an exposer of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, just like I gave in my example earlier, I can start saying all whatever I want. And you know, if I have the Holy Spirit in me and the Word of God is in me, guess what the Holy Spirit does? If I put the Word in me and I've hidden it in my heart, not just in my head, he brings it back up to me. Oh, yeah, right, Lord. Yeah, but. I'm an Italian guy. I was like, yeah, but, Lord. Yeah, but. I always got an excuse for everything. Yeah, but. You know what he says? Yeah, but. And the Word of God rises up in me. It's like, oh. You see, that's why the Word of God is so critical. You know what? A lot of people, can I tell you what? They're not going to like this church. I mean, I get there's lots of reasons, you know, there's probably lots of reasons not to like it. But there's lots of reasons to like it, too. But one of the reasons, the biggest reasons why people won't like this church is because the Word of God is always taught here. You're constantly confronted. The only way that you could stay here is if you love the Lord and you love his word. Otherwise, you'd get the heck out of here. You just would. The word of God is constantly being taught. So if you're sitting here, that means the Lord is working on you. That means there's nothing more precious. This is his love letter to you. Bible, this is the basic instructions before leaving earth. He's giving everything he has to you. Right here. I don't even know how to phrase this in a way. But this is what's going to help you to discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. Because we can lie to ourselves. I watch people do it all the time. But if you put this word in you, and not just in your melon. Listen, I watch many men and women put it in here, and there's no change in their heart and life. But when you hide it in your heart, and it becomes a part of who you are, let me tell you what, kids. I want to tell you, it's going to help navigate through. You won't even be able to lie to yourself. You might be able to stuff it for a bit, but eventually, the Lord's going to reveal it to you. You know why? Because he loves you.
Amen.
And he doesn't want you stuck in that sin anymore.
Amen.
Does that make sense? So don't let him keep you from this. And I saw a hand up, and I don't know even what I did with the mic. Okay, sorry. Yes,
I'm not usually speaking in a large group.
I know, so it's okay.
But the Lord is pushing me to do this, is telling me to do this. I've gone to church. I wasn't raised in a Christian family.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have gone to church for probably 15 years. And until I came to this church,
yes, ma'am,
which was a year ago,
yes, wow,
I went to the grief group. I had lost my son. And I'm able to say that now because of this church and the help that I have gotten. And if I would just go to church and, like you said, it would be here. Until I came to this church, it is in my heart now. And I wanted to say that.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And I have learned so much in the year and over the 10 years that I have been going to church.
Well, that's wonderful. That is. Thank you, Kat. That is a testimony.
Yes. And giving used to scare me because I grew up in a poor family.
Yeah.
So now when I give, I am so joyful. And I'm not scared anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go poor because I give my money to the Lord.
You're trusting in God.
Yes.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing to say. Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Praise God. All the glory to God. But that's the power of his word infused by the Holy Spirit. When you allow him to use that word of God and to work in you and through you, make it a part of who you are. It will help you discern the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. Because we can all do that. Listen, even your pastor does that sometimes. Even your pastor's wife who's listening right now, who's at home sick with the other kids. But she can do that too. She's a godly woman, but we can all get, I don't know, you know what I'm saying?
Yep, I
don't even know the right words to say.
Cranky,
selfish, self-centered, that's our fleshly nature, but we don't live that way. We can't stay there. The Holy Spirit brings the word of God and we bring ourselves into subjection to it. That's why we must get this from head to heart. Everybody say, capiche? There you go. All right. Okay. So now in verse 42, now according to the Mishnah, the amount that she gave, the few copper coins right there, was actually the smallest amount she was even legally to give. You were not even allowed to give less than that. You would have been rejected. So I'm just telling you how little this is. And I'm not dogging her. You're going to see that Jesus isn't either. He's proud of her because it's not as much about the amount as it is with the intent of the heart. Okay? All right. So now Jesus is moving. I don't know if this laser works. It won't work on this cool screen. Oh, now we got this cool screen. My laser won't work. But anyway. So this is a replica of Jerusalem at the time of Jesus, okay? It was from Israel. It's beautiful. I love it. Anyway, and so this is the Temple Mount area here. So Jesus is teaching on the outside of these courts here, the court of the Gentiles outside, okay? And so he's moving from that outside area of the temple courts where he's been teaching and where Jesus drove out the money changers. Remember that? And the animals and all that. He drove them out of there. He says, hey, my house is supposed to be called the house of prayer, and you're making it den of thieves. It's so big. Just to give you an idea, we can't even comprehend this. Just to give you an idea of how big it is, it's approximately 10 to 12 football fields. Just imagine how big, monstrous that is, okay? And so it's absolutely huge. Now, in the temple area, there was what was called the courtyard of the women. I don't know if you can see it right here. All right. Now, that doesn't mean that only women could go there. It's just that only the priests and the men could go into the holier place right in there. So this is kind of where the real, Jews, I guess, the real, they would all gather there. That's where Anna was, the prophetess Anna, if you remember that, when she said, oh, and or Simeon, if you remember, when he saw Jesus, he's like, oh, my eyes have seen the Lord. He's crying, he's going to. So that's where they were all at. Okay, so now in this court of women, okay, which would hold roughly, just to let you know how big, just the inner court here, if you can see the arrow, it held 6,000 people. And if you include the little gathering places around it, it would hold 15,000 worshipers. Just, it's hard to even imagine how big this was, okay? But anyway, in that woman's court, or the court of the women, there were 13 treasury chests, or they were called trumpets, okay, for the purposes of tithing and giving, all right? Now, Jesus was observing how the people offered their money to God. Many people made a big show of it. There's probably a line of people. You'll see, I got a little picture of what I think it would look like, but they were like a chest with almost like a trumpet or a tuba coming out of it, you know. And so when you put your money in, you'd have to put in your special temple money, because the money changers, remember, and you'd have to put that special money in there so they can make money coming in, make money coming in. When you dump it in there, it would all jingle jangle, right? So all the rich men would bring in their bags of money. You would make, you know, as it's going. Have you ever seen those at like the restaurants? Yeah. You put a coin in. It's usually plastic, but it goes around and around, and you're sitting there like 10 minutes watching it go. All right, that's kind of what it was doing. It would make this big clinky clanky sound, right, as it's going down. Everybody would, oh, that was a really blessing, really blessing the Lord. And you know what? They have their praise, right? Just like the people who give their big checks up in front of the church, right? Mm-hmm. To be seen by men, right? But they did it for show, like peacocks attracting attention. Now, in contrast, Jesus is focusing on the poor woman presenting her offering. Now, believe it or not, they had 13 of these chests. These Pharisees had set up 13 of these chests. Was it right? Am I right? Yeah, good. Okay, I was thinking, oh, is that right? 13 chests with that little trumpet thing coming out of her, tuba thing coming out, that they would put their money in. Now, seven of those, the first seven, were mandatory. So you had to give money for the work of the altar, or for the wood of the altar, or for the incense of the altar, or everybody had to pay taxes. They had to pay a church tax. So there's seven of those, at least, were mandatory, and the rest of them you had to give. You know, a few more were semi-mandatory, and a few were, if you had extra. But that would be like you coming to church. This would be the only place, right? If you really want to worship God, this is it, okay? And so we're going to pass the basket around 13 times. And seven of those times, everybody has to give. And if you don't give, you don't love God. And you're not trusting him. And honestly, there's the door. Does that seem right to you? You know what? There are even churches today that will send you letters. I can't tell you. I'm so shocked. Hey, you haven't given the... Like, what? Oh, yeah, you promised this. You haven't given that. I'm like, what? Who does that? Yeah, you got 12 more payments down. What are you, a used car salesman? Can we bring a mic back in that corner while I'm speaking for somebody? I don't know whoever has a mic. So anyway, there's monies for all that, and that's probably more of what it looked like right there. This is a painting, but this is of the widow of like a chest with those little trumpet things come out. So it's 13 of them, and Jesus is just sitting there watching. Yes, did you have a comment?
I do want to say that, believe it or not, there's actually a church to this day, somewhere in Mexico, I think. Yeah. I don't know the name of the church, and that's not important. But anyway, believe it or not, they're actually asking for money or something like that, saying if you pay a certain amount of money, you'll get a house in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, there's... Which I want to just tell you...
It's very sad, because all these people think, you know, that... Oh, I'm going to have a nice house when I get to heaven.
I can't tell you the number of stories that I've heard. Folks that have given all their money to churches and later they end up being destitute because they were manipulated into giving under the name of God.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that disgusts me. I don't know how else to say it better than that. So if you ever go to a church and they're doing constantly doing sermons on tithing, and do you know what I'm saying? You know what? Get out. If that's where their focus is, let me tell you, the Lord owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Listen, we should be giving, every one of us here, okay? However, God will provide. And if God doesn't provide, well, then it's time to maybe move on. Yes. Oh, sorry. Yes. Yes.
I just had the thought that Jesus said, come to me as little children.
Yes, ma'am.
And children ain't got no money.
Yep.
So just come here, he said, and that's how he wants us to come.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. I think I'm going to make that as a bumper sticker. Children ain't got no money. Jesus said, come to him. I could tell that to a lot of churches. I could actually name a bunch, but I'm not going to. Lord knows who they are. You know what? Yeah, I'll shut up. Anyway, so this is what those are what the copper or the bronze coins were that she dropped in. Okay, just so you know, I actually have a couple at my house. I got them one of the trips that we were in Israel. We were supposed to go in Israel. I don't know if it was this year, last year. Yeah, we're supposed to go, and we had 30 people lined up to go. We were going to go to Ephesus, Israel, Corinth, Athens, and all this war stuff. That's so discouraging. Anyway, yeah, a bunch of people here, a bunch of people online. I'm so sad about that. But we'll see. If it still ends up happening, great. If not, I'll trust the Lord with it. But in Jesus' times in Israel, this was the small copper or bronze coin. It was called a lepton or a lepta. It was worth approximately a fifth of a cent. And there was actually no coins back then called a mite. Okay, just so you know, there was nothing called a mite back then. That's Old English. That's King James English. There's really nothing called a mite. It was called a lepta. Hello. Well, that's handy. Look at that. Blocked out. I wonder why that's blocked out. Well, anyway, so the King James word mite just meant a small portion or a small amount. That's what it meant. And it was a coin that was produced back around the time that the King James Bible was being produced. And around 1611, I guess they stopped minting those coins. And but at that time, it was still in circulation, but it meant a very small amount of just a crumb. And so that's why they used the word mite. And so that's what it is. But it's actually a lepta, okay? So there you go. All right, so Mark chapter 12, verse 43 and 44 says this. It says, calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. He says, they gave out of their wealth or out of their surplus, some of your translations might say, but she, out of her poverty, putting in everything she had to live on. Now, there's a few things that I want to mention here. Hopefully I remember to put them all up here. First, the word poor, when it says she's a poor widow, there's three words in the New Testament that the New Testament uses for poor to describe somebody who's in poverty, okay? Of all those words, tokos is the worst. That's what this word is, this poor widow. And I say that because that word tokos is the worst word for poor. When I say worst, it means a beggar. It means someone who is utterly and completely destitute. This is who she is. It's not like she's got some funds, she's got a backup plan. She's utterly destitute. It's the same word Jesus used when he was trying to say, hey, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. In other words, he was saying in the Sermon on the Mount, he used the same word. Blessed are those who are utterly destitute, right? Because then you know you need Jesus, and he can save you, for theirs is the kingdom of God. But you first have to know that you are utterly destitute without him. You're poor in spirit. Same word. Anyway, so she is absolutely destitute, okay? Now, I will say a couple things, and here's the first thing I'm going to say. Sometimes I can swing the pendulum the other way when I'm trying to make a point or a little too far. But I want to say, if anyone is thinking in their minds here or online that this is about tithing today, I'm trying to get you to tithe more today. Can I tell you what? Don't tithe today. You just think about what's being said, because what I'm trying to tell you is the truth. I don't want anybody to give here out of guilt or compulsion. Don't do that. That's not what we're trying to do, okay? But I still want to tell you the truth. Listen, people need to hear this. If you, and there are probably people not here that should be hearing this. But if you're waiting to have enough money before you give to God, before you tithe to God, you're probably never going to give it. That's just the truth. And you're never going to be blessed for it. Okay, I'm just going to be honest. We give to the Lord by faith, not by sight. If you're waiting, I'm gonna get enough. No, he wants the first fruits of your offerings. And that's just trusting. What that basically means is trusting the Lord with it. So, and I don't know if the AC is working, but I...
It's fine.
Okay.
Man. 69.
There's the Holy Spirit's got me fire on me. Okay. So, but the bottom line is, honestly, I think if I've watched many people, we just don't have enough. Listen, I don't need to know. I'll never know what you give. Neither will Pastor Gary. You give unto the Lord. They keep this way, everybody gets ministered to equally. If you're giving $1 million here, well, if you're giving $1 million, we don't know about it. We would know that, but or you're giving a penny, we're going to treat you the same, because that's what Jesus would do, right? He wouldn't give special seats to the guy with $1 million or make it put the name up on the... This is the wing of the church with Billy Bobby Jones. No, we would never do that. Anyway, so I think that if you're not giving to God, you're probably never going to do it, and you're not going to be blessed by it. You have to give to God by faith. Look, whether here or listen, if there's folks that listen online, you're going to church somewhere else, go and give there. That's where you're receiving the word of God. Would you please give there? But give. You're robbing God. It says that in the Bible, in the Old Testament. You're actually robbing God, and you're robbing yourself of a blessing. It's just the truth. And you're not being blessed because you're not doing it. And honestly, I don't probably offend people, but it's an attitude of the heart. It really is. Also notice, the others aren't condemned for giving from their surplus. So listen, Jesus isn't condemning the other people for giving out of their surplus. Listen, I don't think the point of this is you have to give everything you have. I mean, you ultimately in your heart to the Lord, but do you know what I'm saying? He's not condemning the other people. They're giving out of their surplus. He's not condemning them. However, he is recognizing her and her heart and how she's doing it. Now, the widow, here's another point I just want to make, a few things I want to go over. The widow could have been bitter. Think about that. She's a widow. That means, I don't want to say God took her husband. Her husband died. Right? I'm destitute now. This is back in, what do I do now? She could have been mad at the, and why isn't the church helping her? It says that she gave all she had was these two coins. Where's the church? They're raking in all this money. They're not giving a dollar to her. She could have been mad at the church, at the pastors, at the... Listen, I can't tell you the amount of people who have been hurt by other churches, and now they don't give here. Now listen, I don't know if that's you. I really don't. So if that's you, then that's between you and God. But I'm telling you, that's just a trick of the enemy. Some pastor hurt me. Some priest hurt me. Some church hurt me. Some denomination hurt me. So now I'm not going to give to the people who are helping me. That would be like, just to give you a little example, that would be like the first person you dated, right, used you. Terrible thing. Guy used you, girl used you. That's what the... And you know what? So now I'm not going to date any man again or any woman because they're all bad. Well, there's a bunch of wonderful men out there and wonderful women out there. No, they're all, and I'm going to make them all pay. And so they'll all be bitter for everyone who ever meets me down the line. Wouldn't that be stupid? Of course. So listen, she didn't get bitter. She trusted the Lord. She's giving unto the Lord. And when we give, that's what we do. We trust, just like what you said. Also, Jesus noticed that others gave out of their wealth and surplus. That is, they gave what they could easily spare. However, she gave out of her poverty. That is, she gave what she couldn't spare. She gave all of it. She gave sacrificially. And Jesus noticed that. And Jesus is honestly, he's also condemning the system. Listen, a lot of these tithes were mandated. Look, remember he said that these Pharisees devour widows' houses? They're thinking of ways to get money. Think of all the TV preachers. If you'll just send me money, God's going to send you 100% more, and you're going to, you know, and if you'll, there's some truth, you'll be blessed, but come on, that's manipulation. It just is. And don't let that happen. So Jesus is condemning the system. When it says she put in everything she had to live on, that's because they're making her. They're devouring widows' homes. It's evil, it's wrong, it's ungodly, and it shouldn't happen. So, he's not saying not to give, not to tithe, but make sure we do it with the right heart. He said this in Matthew 23:23. He said, "Woe to you, teachers of the laws and Pharisees, you hypocrites." That means actor. "You give the tenth of everything, your spices, your mint, your dill, your cumin, but you have neglected the more important things, love, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter, so continue to tithe without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." So in other words, you know, continue tithe, but you're forgetting the most important things. Now, how do we give? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says that each of us must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly. Tithe just means 10%. You want to give 10%? Give 10%. You can give 20%. You can give 50%. You can give 5%. It's up to you. You have to ask the Lord what he wants you to give by faith, whatever that is, without guilt, without compulsion. Does that make sense? But don't rob him. Don't rob the Lord. There are things that we could be doing here. I never talk about this. The only time, we've only done one tithe sermon in 10 years. I just want to tell you, Pastor Gary did it. I listened to it online. I was gone. It was an excellent sermon. It was many years ago. He's like, "We really need to do a sermon on tithe." Okay, sure. I'm glad you're doing it. And so he did it. I listened to it. It was really good. It was one of the best ones he's done. And there was only 2 points that he missed, and the crowd shared it, what he missed, and I thought, oh, wow, that was really good. Can I tell you what? The tithes the next week, I think the Lord was just telling us, you just focus on me, everything, were the lowest they have ever been in the history of the church. I kid you not. So we always joke about it. Somebody mentions, "Hey, you ever thought about doing tithe?" You're not going to do that unless the Lord says it directly. But anyway, we need to decide. How are you deciding your heart? Not reluctantly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. God wants you to say, "Hey, God, I'm trusting you by faith. I know I could use this money in another area. I'm not even sure if I can trust the church or the pastor because I've been hurt before. I don't even know what exactly they're going to do. And who's this missionary, Dana? I don't know Jonathan personally. But I'm going to trust you with it." Bloop. And he says, "Oh, well done, good and faithful servant." Does that make sense? Even if the church is a knucklehead. God bless you. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. So when you give to the needy too, do not announce it with trumpets. Huh. Jingle, jingle, jangle, jingle. Does that make sense? It says, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they've already received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your heavenly Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And that doesn't necessarily mean money. That might mean you get blessed in another way. I don't know. That's up to him. He's God, I'm not. Does that make sense? For real? Does it? Okay. All right. I got to tell you something. I was at another church. I was associate pastor for years, and I remember this guy. He was a nice guy. He really was. But, you know, he would come up and, put in $10,000 in the tithe box. Yeah, just trying to bless the church. I was thinking, why are you, you know why he was telling me, don't you? Wanted praise, wanted thanks, he wanted special treatment. And I would always tell him, well, whatever you do is between you and the Lord. Praise God. He's like, he always like would get real disappointed. Well, put more money in the tithe box. Anyway. Okay, so even in Corinthians 16:1-2, it says, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian church to do. At the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money and keep them with your income, saving it up. So when I come, no collections would have to be made. So in general, how should we give or tithe to the Lord? Positively is the first thing. That's joyfully, trusting God with it. Periodically, done at regular intervals. Hey, at the first day of the week, this scripture says, planned, okay? Setting aside a sum of money, right? Thought in advance of giving. Proportional, in proportion to your blessing. That's why I like the 10%. Not that it's a legalistic thing, because again, you don't have to do that. But if you make $20,000, then you get the idea. It's proportional. And then, the last thing is private. Don't make it public or show off. You know what? Lord, the Lord told me I should do this. Can I tell you something? Some of you get mad. I'm going to tell you three things. One is, if some of you, that will make you feel guilty. I don't want to do that. There's much more that we want to do. Can I tell you, I would like to make the sanctuary bigger, not to just make it necessarily bigger, but we know we got a lot of people on vacation, but I even had a family yesterday. He's like, we visited your church. We loved it, but it was had so many people in it. I felt claustrophobic. We had to get out of there. This was even this week. I've heard that countless times. And if it's the Lord's will, he'll open it up. If not, but there probably is so much more we could be doing. Just ask the Lord. Don't let whatever hurt in the past stop you from doing what's right in the Lord now. Okay. So, but I also want to say, you know, when it says it should be done, not be made public, private, I want to tell you there's some wonderful people one time offered us, offered us a home. Now, when I first, I was like, Lord, a home. Wow, we could do so much with that. We could do missionary work. We could put up people. And I had all these wonderful thoughts. Oh, we could do this. We could rent it out. We could sell it. We could use the funds to help this person, that person. And so I prayed about it, and the Lord was like, no, it's not for you. I was like, Lord, perhaps you're not understanding. But the thing I want to say is, first, these people didn't make a big show of it. No one here, I mean, I'm not, how do I say this the right way, truthful way. They didn't go about saying, offered her home to the church. No, you guys don't know. Listen, they just did it. And then the Lord said no. And I was like, Lord, you don't understand here. The things we need, you know how much we need that we could do so much. I'm giving him my list. And he's like, no. I was like, okay. Okay, Lisa, I don't know why, but the Lord is saying, I don't think it's a good idea. Would you please pray? Maybe you'll get something else. And she's like, sure I'll pray. And she prayed. She's like, I didn't tell her. I don't know if you're going to hate me, but the Lord is saying, no, we shouldn't receive it. It's like, Pastor Gary, I'd like you to pray. here's the situation. He's like, oh, wow, we can do ministry. This. Look, Braymont. And he came back, same thing. I don't think we should. So everything needs to be done in prayer. But the point of that whole story, too, was everything needs to be bathed in prayer. But those people never made a big show of what they were giving. However, it was incredibly wonderful and generous, right? And that's the right heart that we need to have. And the right heart in receiving, right? The Lord was saying, no, are you sure we don't want to receive? For whatever reason, it's no this time, and just receive that. Okay, that's where we got to say, I trust you, Lord. Does that make sense?
Yes.
How long have I been teaching? 7 hours?
55 minutes.
Wow, who did that? The little monitor told me how that's great, George.
Wow.
It's only 55 minutes, okay. I don't know. Do I have time to? I should probably stop. I should probably stop, shouldn't I?
You finished 12.
I finished 12. Yeah, but 13 is so good when we get into the temple. Nah, the Lord told me not to. Okay. All right.
Can I ask a question?
I saw hands go up, but I was in the zone, so I don't even know where the microphone is or who had hands up. Who has the microphone? Thanks. Can you bring it, and then we'll give you. If there's any questions or comments, again. Yeah. Thank you.
I just have a quick question.
Too late.
On the widows.
Yes.
Were they shunned or put aside because they're widowed? They no longer, they're destitute now because they don't have a husband? Is that?
You know what? There was probably, that's a good question. I can't tell you exactly because I wasn't there, but there was a stigma back then that, which is ungodly, that if anything bad happened to you, right, in any way, it was from God. It was a judgment for God. So your husband died. Oh, yeah, it wasn't his time to go. It was just a judgment from God. So they would have kind of looked at her like, oh, obviously you're cursed, which was wrong. So, yes.
Just two things.
Anything.
The first thing was, it's such a testament when you said just because a door is open doesn't mean we're supposed to walk through it. So the fact that you prayed and you had multiple people pray and the Lord led you in that, because many times, we think that's a door open and we don't go to the Lord in prayer. We just think he opened it.
Yes.
So that was that. And then where would she, so those tithes are mandated and you said there's seven, but she only had one coin. Yeah. So where would she get it? Where
you
would
know
she
what?
Put that?
That's a great question.
Nobody would
we
know.
We don't know. And you can ask her that when you get to heaven. Good. Anybody else? Yes. Yes and yes.
Read the story of Ruth.
Yes. Okay. Read the story of Ruth, he said.
Yeah, one of the things when I start thinking about giving is that the fact that none of this belongs to me. It belongs to God and God only.
Yes.
So our responsibility is to steward that.
Yes.
I mean, if he gave it to me, I want to give back.
Yes, and that's the right heart to have. That's the heart we all need to have, but I get it, especially in this. Let's just be honest. The economy right now, terrible. Okay? So I get it. So now, I can understand you want to hold on, and I don't even know how much you should hold or how much you should give. So that's why there's no mandate. You give as the Lord puts on your heart. You pray, and you ask the Lord, right? If it's 10%, if it's 2%, if it's 20%, you ask the Lord, and you just give that. But whatever you give, don't give to show off, guilt, or compulsion. You put it back in the bird box. You trust the Lord, and you say, God, use this to bless other people and glorify your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else before we pray? All right. Father, I want to say thank you for this group who has had to listen to a hard sermon. I pray in Jesus' name that you would, I just feel like your anointing fire is on it, and you're speaking to people right now. And I don't know who you're speaking to, but I ask in Jesus' name that you would burn away any hurt, any bitterness, any greed, anything that would prevent, any fears, Lord, anything that would prevent them from giving to you and just trusting you, Lord God. And And Lord, whether we get a little or a lot, I pray you'd really help us just to use it all for your glory, Lord God. And it would be genuine. And so please help us as leaders to do that when we're giving the money out and to trust you with everything, Lord God. And so I ask that you would bless these people abundantly, Lord, for their faithfulness, Lord. And I don't even know who's giving and who's not, but will you bless the ones that have been giving so faithfully for so long, whether they're here today or maybe they're on vacation or sick or something. Just bless them, Lord, abundantly, Lord. And thank you for each person who comes to faithfully listen to your word, Lord. I pray that it would not return void, but accomplish the purpose that you set it out for. If there's anything, Lord, that I said that I shouldn't have, erase it from their minds completely, Lord, and leave only the truth and the heart intent of your word in their minds and hearts. I ask this as I thank you for all these people here and online in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus' name.